Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
And what a week it has been. Sam Crowley, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It's Friday, October 7th, the first Friday in October, right? Yeah, because last week would have been September 30th. Boy, what a difference a week makes. Easy for me to say. Last week, Friday, I'm at the Breakfast Buffet in Orlando at the Caribe Royale Resort, private villa. Yes, it's a humble brag. Took the family there. And had a beautiful, I mean, weather was just amazing. Had the typical afternoon Florida monsoon thunderstorms. Those things are crazy, man. They pop up, flood the city, go away. Half hour later, sun shining, and it's like it never even rained. Everything's dry. But boy, Hurricane Matthew, stay safe if you're in the eye of that thing, man. It looks nasty. What a difference. I mean, seriously, that just 1 week makes. You can be vacationing in Disney. Excuse me. I had to clear my throat there. You're vacationing in Disney and everything's going awesome. And then a week later, they close Disney until tomorrow. I'm recording this Friday. It's closed today, all day today, reopening, I think, tomorrow. Disney has only been closed, if my memory serves, I saw this online, four times since it's opened. And it opened in 71, I believe. Can you believe that? It's only been around for, what is that, 45 years? I would have thought Disney had been around for like 80 years, but hey. What do I know? You want to be inspired? Google Walt Disney. I don't mean the resort. I mean the person. You want to be inspired about somebody who had just a couple bucks left to his name but still believed in his dream? Go Google that guy. I remember my very first Disney trip. It was 1989. I was living in West Palm Beach, Florida. And a buddy of mine, Pat, his sister came down to visit. He and I were roommates living in West Palm. I was working at Had I passed the Series 7? Yes, I passed the Series 7 exam, which is just ridiculous. At the time, Series 7 exam to become a stockbroker, if you don't know what that means. I didn't know what it meant. I was 20 years old, moved to West Palm, and it was funny because only 20% of the people who took the Series 7 passed. It's this ridiculously hard exam, and I went down to West Palm, left Bradford, PA. I dropped out of Penn State. That was the summer of 88. And drove 23 hours straight through the night with my buddy Pat. I didn't have any really, just had a I literally had a garbage bag full of clothes. I didn't even have a suitcase. I had a garbage bag full of clothes. And we stayed in a hotel our first night there, days in. And then the second night, we were looking through the classifieds to find a place. It was either our second or third day there. We finally found a place. It was kind of in the ghetto of West Palm Beach. And I got my mattress. I got out of the garbage pile. So one of the neighbors up the street was throwing away. It just happened to be that night. So I slept on a floor for a couple nights, and then that night was garbage night. I got the mattress off the curb, and I got a king-size mattress and a twin mattress. I put the twin on top of the king, and that was where I slept for the better part of 3 months, and that's where we lived for the first 3 months in West Palm. And I had to walk about a mile every day to take the bus to my job at Surrey's, which Surrey's was a menswear store in the Palm Beach Mall. And I would take the bus to and from. I had no car, had no money to get a car. And they would not allow me to do anything other than count the suits. I had to do the suit count every morning just to make sure that the number of suits that should be on the rack are there, none got stolen or anything like that. I wasn't allowed to have any interaction with anybody that walked in the store, customers and the like. And it was Palm Beach, so it was like the, you know, the beautiful people. And it's weird because one day, after about 6 weeks there, literally all I did was count suits and drink coffee. I hadn't really had coffee before. I wasn't really a coffee drinker till I got there. And it was everybody else, all the old men that were running the store there, old being defined as over 50, which is funny because I'm 2 years from that now. And they would drink a lot of coffee at Barney's coffee place in the mall. They would just go for a break. They'd be bored, walk around. I mean, that was literally their life. They just sat in a menswear store. And during the weekday, did anybody go to the mall? No, nobody goes to the mall during the week, at least not in the morning. They just sit around and drink a bunch of coffee. So I said, hey, when in Rome, do as they do. So I went and started drinking coffee. And one day everybody went on a break and I was left there by myself. And this gentleman walks in. Just reeked of money. I mean, he had the silver hair, probably about 5'7", 220 pounds. So that's the kind of build that he had. But he had all this gold jewelry on. I didn't know it at the time, but he was kind of the best customer in the store. He'd come in and buy these $2,000 suits. We're talking 1988. And he had his own, you know, salesperson there dedicated to him. I didn't know any of this. I knew none of this. He walks in the store. I'm like, hey, welcome to Surrey's. He's like, oh, hello. Where's Philip? Philip was the manager. Philip was a British man. Spoke with the British accent. Very professional, polished. I mean, dude was just head to toe, dressed like a million bucks and just had that British accent. Sounded like royalty. I wore the same clothes every day. I had a gray pair of Dockers with gray topsiders. You know what I'm talking about? Like those Sperry topsiders that were popular back in the 80s. And I had a pink shirt with a white collar and a blue shirt with a white collar. Just let that kind of percolate in your mind for a little bit. Yours truly, with a gray pair of pants, Docksiders, not even dress pants, these Sperry Topsider shoes, and a pink shirt with a white collar and or, depending if whichever was the cleaner one, not clean, I just said cleaner, like less amount of stains and stuff, because I had to go to the laundromat. We didn't have a washer and dryer. And that's what I wore, blue with a white collar, pink with a white collar. So that's what I'm firing on. Hey, welcome to Surrey's with the Dumb and Dumber haircut, the bangs. And he's like, hey, is Philip in? I'm like, no, Philip's not here. He goes, well, hey, I need a suit, need a new suit. I'm like, hey, well, follow me back to the portly section. Crickets. Guy looks at me, portly. And, I mean, you could just tell he was all shades of pissed off that I called him portly. Well, this is why, in my defense, though, first of all, I'm 20. You know, don't know anything about anything. Hadn't taken the Series 7. Didn't even know I was going to be a stockbroker ever. Just thought I just wanted to eat. My goal at that point in time was to eat that day. Find food to eat. That's all I wanted to do. Didn't have any friends. Didn't go to a gym. Didn't leave the apartment. I was in the ghetto every minute of the day except when I was at the menswear store, and that was my existence. We had a little 13-inch black and white TV without cable that we watched, shared together. And that was a lot of fun. Geez, man, I missed out on a lot. I missed out on life this period of time. The reason I called him portly was because when I did the suit count, we had small, medium, large, and portly. And that's how I would report back. It was actually written down on a piece of paper. It was small, medium, large, portly. And portly was for the kind of fat people that came in, the men that wanted suits. Well, I didn't know any different. And I just told him, I thought everybody just called it that part. So I go, hey, just follow me back to the portly section. He's like, what'd you call me? Like, I didn't call you anything, sir. Just going back to the suit section where I know you probably get the best fit. And already I was out of my league because I didn't even know. You know, you got to do the chalk mark up inside the crotch and to the legs with the chalk. I mean, who does that? I'm 20. You seriously think I'm going to make a chalk mark in a guy's crotch when I'm 20 years old? I don't even know what I'm doing. I wouldn't even do that to my own pants. And this was going downhill fast. And so he's like, you know what? Why don't I just wait for Philip to come back? I'm like, yeah, that's cool. Philip was out getting coffee with the other guys. I don't even know why he left me at the store. He knew better not to leave me at the store, but I think he thought because it was just a weekday morning, nobody was going to show up. So Philip comes back, and this guy reads him the riot act. He's all shades of pissed off, and Philip finally calms him down. And seriously, who gets that upset over being called portly? I mean, come on, man. If you want to be offended that badly, go be offended. Philip sells him the suit, chalks him up, marks him up, all that stuff. Guy leaves, pays, blah, blah, blah. Philip comes over and says, why was he so upset with you, Sam? I said, well, I think it's because he wanted to find a suit, and I told him, hey, follow me back to the portly section. Philip turned all shades of red. He goes, you did not say that. I said, well, of course I did. That's what it's called. He goes, Sam, it's the executive cut. The executive cut, Sam, when we go back there. Hey, words mean everything, man. I don't know. What do I know? I said, Philip, I didn't know ever. You never told me that portly suits were to be referred to as the executive cut. Now I know. So when the next person, no. He cuts me, no. There will be no next time. If somebody comes in the store, you just let them know there's nobody here to help them and that I will be back. I'm like, well, I'm actually here. So to say there's nobody here to help them, don't you think that's kind of a, you think that's an awkward moment that we might have together, me and the customer, when they know that I'm an employee? No, not unless you make it awkward. Just do not ever sell anything to anyone ever in the store. You are to count the suits. I'm like thinking to myself, I don't know why I never asked this question, but why am I here? I don't even know why I never asked that question. Why am I here? I wasn't allowed to even, I could sell a tie or a pair of socks. I did that, I remember. But then I screwed up the sale. Like I charged somebody like $27 for a pair of socks. I rang it up like a shirt or something. They paid it. I don't know why. Paid like $27 for a pair of socks. It had to have been the nicest pair of damn socks they ever wore. At least they felt that way. What's the point in sharing the story with it? Well, what a difference a week makes, right? Last week, I'm in Orlando. This week, it's getting bombarded by a hurricane. What a difference a life makes. What a difference 30 years makes. I mean, that was just about 30 years ago, and I thought my life was over then. I was only 20 years old. You know how fast that changes? I answered an ad, become a stockbroker, make $100,000 a year, which, come on, it's the late 80s, number one. Number two, I'm 20. Number three, I got no college degree, nothing. I got nothing going for me, and to think to make 100 grand a year, but I allowed myself to dream, and I just dreamed. And I just said, well, sure, 100. Why not? That's the beauty of being ignorant. Why not? Ignorance is bliss sometimes. Why? I thought to myself, why can't I make 100 grand? It's no big deal. Like, sure, if not me, then who? And that was the summer I saw Wall Street for the first time. Charlie Sheen and Michael Douglas, one of the, my favorite movie, top five favorite movies of all time. Wall Street had such a profound impact on me because I was all about the greed at the time. I was all about money. Growing up poor and, you know, no money and nothing going on. I was all about it, man. And so I dreamed. I saw Wall Street. I was like, damn. And then I got this opportunity. I didn't realize I had to pay for all the study material. I didn't realize it was 100% commission. I didn't realize everything else. I wasn't going to work for Shearson Lehman, put it that way, or Merrill Lynch. Not even close. I was going to work for a chop house that just basically was a boiler room that made markets in their own stock. I know that now, what all that means. Then I had no idea. I thought I was going to work for Merrill Lynch. Long story short, every day that I was not working at the menswear store, I took the bus home, I would put these cassette tapes, I had a Walkman, and I would listen to the cassette tapes, and I would listen and study about options and trading and stocks and bonds and all this stuff. And wouldn't you know, in October, November of 1988, not long after I got there, I passed the Series 7. I took the exam in Miami, Florida. A buddy of mine and I, a guy that I met who was also taking the exam, he would drive me to the classes every day. Oh, by the way, yeah, we went to class 6 days a week for 3 weeks while we were studying the tapes and going through the manuals. I passed. He didn't. He had a degree in chemistry from like a real college. I had nothing. And I passed. He didn't. And he made a funny joke. He eventually did pass. Great guy, TJ, man. We had so much fun working together. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This guy, TJ, the guy that he eventually passed the Series 7 on his next try the following month. But he lived in the basement in Palm Beach on Ocean Boulevard. So the ocean is your front yard. The intercoastal waterway is your backyard. And he lived in one of the mansions owned by a gentleman named Albert Taubman, who was the founder of A&W Root Beer. Prior to that, the owner of the house was the ambassador to Denmark under the Nixon administration. All right, you follow me? Up the street was homes owned by Estee Lauder. You had Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago right there. You had Wrigley from the famous Wrigley family. I mean, it was a who's who of some of the most richest people in Palm Beach. They lived on the ocean. TJ lived in the basement because he was a cop at the time before he passed the Series 7 exam. And he would park his cop car in the driveway. And the Albert Taubman, who was the owner of the home, allowed him to live rent-free in the basement, which was bigger than any house you'd ever seen, just the basement was. In return, TJ just had to park his police vehicle in the driveway and maintain the home, just keep an eye on the home. And of course, you know, we would go out. Once I got a couple bucks in my pocket, I was imagine this, I'm a stockbroker in West Palm Beach. A buddy of mine is living on South Ocean Boulevard in this huge mansion with a pool in the front that was a saltwater pool, a pool in the back that was a freshwater pool. And we would go out to clubs and like girls would say, hey, where do you live? South Ocean Boulevard. Just let that sink in for a minute. 21 years old, 20 years old, living on South Ocean Boulevard, Palm Beach. You're a stockbroker. Wow, long way from Cincinnati, Ohio in 2016. But that's what life is about, man. It was amazing. I've never been afraid to take a risk. I've never been afraid to fail. I've never been afraid to be made fun of, because I think I always understood that when you study people who have always done really big things in life, they always had that. They always had that common thread woven throughout, as they weren't afraid of being judged and made fun of and all that stuff. And even at an early age, I didn't know what I didn't know. Like you right now, you don't even know how powerful you are. You don't even know that you can go out right now and become a thought leader in your industry, charge top dollar, and make $1 million this year. The only thing standing between you and that actually happening is that stupid voice that goes inside your head and everybody else's head. And I don't mean you stupid. Listen, make the determination between these two. Make the distinction, rather, between the two. That silly voice with no reason whatsoever that just says, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Who are you? What do you think you're doing? Like, that goes on and on and on in people's mind, and it sabotages dreams. And when I was 20 years old living in West Palm Beach, I didn't have that voice. I needed to eat. I mean, it was fight or flight. It was definitely just all about surviving. And as we get older and we get comfortable, we lose those survival instincts, because comfort kills. It really does. It has the opposite impact of what most people think comfort. Everybody wants comfort. We want the home. We want the 401k. We want the health insurance. Hell with that. I don't want any of that. I want security for my family, of course, but I don't do what I do to be comfortable. I'll do what I do. I keep my family very comfortable. My kids are in a great school. Kids are healthy. My wife is doing very well. Me, if I could live in a tent in my backyard, I would, you know, just to be different, just to hang out, have a great time. And that's the way I run my business as well. By the way, let me take 30 seconds into this podcast. Have you watched the webinar? Have you even given it the energy that it deserves? It will change your life. Go to ediswebinar.com, ediswebinar.com. I'm going to share with you five simple things that you can do right now that change your life in 30 days. Just stop the rat race that you're in right now. Every day looks the same. It's Groundhog Day, money, relationships, health, all of that. It stops, and in 30 days, it will change. That much I promise you. Go to ediswebinar.com. Make sure you view that. It's going to be the most powerful webinar that you view this year, certainly. Maybe ever, but I don't want to get too much hyperbole into it. Just make sure you head on over there, all right? ediswebinar.com. The only reason I was able to do what I did, become a stockbroker, and I was a stockbroker for the next 2 years, and then that got old. You know, I get bored easily, like you and everybody else. I wanted a new challenge, so I stopped doing that in 1990, moved back to Buffalo, and started with the company I was with for the next 15 years, moving up the corporate ladder. But I never cared what anybody thought. All I wanted to do was survive and thrive. Survive, then thrive. If I can survive and then thrive, great. My first instinct, always, even when I went bankrupt in 2005, as I shared earlier this week in the show, it was all about surviving. And then once I got back on my feet, it was about thriving. And you model that. I want you to model that. I want you, if you're in a tough situation, just survive. And you just tread water right now. Just keep your head above water. And then I want you to thrive. And I want you to go for it. And then survive and then thrive. Don't put your family in danger, but put yourself out there. And you can do that. It's not a difficult thing to do. You put yourself out there as much as you possibly can, because, man, that's where the best tasting fruit is, out on the limb. That is where it's at, I'm telling you. I hope this message stuck in your mind and you take it with you not only today, but all throughout the weekend, this month, next year. Because once you get that concept, ignorance is bliss. You have no idea how powerful you are, and the hell what everybody else thinks. I'm telling you right now, you take the mindset of that 20-year-old in West Palm Beach who I never thought he could fail. Had I known now, I mean, I think how dumb, I mean, dumb, conventional thinking wise, how scared, I should have been scared out of my mind. I had no worries. No worries in the world. I was going to work at a menswear store. I was going to be a stockbroker. I was going to live in South Ocean Boulevard. I was going to hang with the beautiful people in Palm Beach. I'm from Bradford, PA. Grew up with food stamps. No big deal to me. It all just seems so normal. That's kind of what the everyday Saturday lifestyle is about, right? Man, it's fun. It's just fun being free. Isn't it fun being free? Isn't it fun being free?
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EverydayIsSaturday.